From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. It's time now for All Tech Considered. This week, we're heading back to college. And for those of us who've left our school days far behind, today's campuses may seem a bit foreign. Dorms are a wired maze of laptops, iPhones, and webcams. Classroom lectures are downloadable as MP3s. And finals are often administered online. Well, today we're going to explore how one new technology is helping resolve an age-old classroom dilemma, the blank stare. It's called clickers. It can be hard for teachers to know what students are absorbing in class, but these little keypads allow students to instantly answer questions. Dan Bobkoff of member station WCPN in Cleveland went to see them in action.
Before visiting Connor McLennan's memory and cognition class at Cleveland State University, I'll admit that I couldn't really see how these little clickers could change teaching.
Today, remember, we're going to have a review for exam one, which is on Friday, and we'll have a number of clicker slides throughout the class today.
Then I saw how he uses them for everything. His students have a pen in one hand and a credit card-sized clicker in the other. And anytime he has anything to ask them, the question goes up on the projector screen.
Okay, so if you're interested in being interviewed after class by Dan for the story and your use of clickers and whether you like them, you can respond yes. If not, say no.
So the students grab their clickers to punch in either yes, they will talk to me, or no, they have better things to do. A few seconds later, a bar graph pops up showing that just 16% said yes.
And I guess you are part of the 16% who said yes, that you would talk to me.
Yes, I am.
Allison Feifolt is a senior at CSU. This is her first class using the clickers.
It's good, and it's nerve-wracking. You kind of feel like you're on a game show because you get to compete with everybody else.
So which of the following is not characteristic of a mental representation? Is it, one, a mental representation of an object is not the same as its physical representation? Is it, two, mental representations provide the basis?
The class stares at the question on the screen. Some rest their clickers on their cheeks while they think. A countdown appears on the screen. And then, time's up, and they punch in their answer.
It's not the case that we are conscious of all mental representations.
All right, so maybe Psychology 372 isn't really as dramatic as Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. But the students did seem into the whole thing. In fact, Professor McLennan polled his class, with the clickers, of course, and found that 96% of them really like using them. And by constantly polling, McLennan gets an instant read on how much of the material they're absorbing.
If you answered perceptual, why did you think it was perceptual? Just guessing? So over 20% had perceptual.
Nervous giggles from the class.
No one wants to admit to it? Guessing? Okay. So now you know. So on some of these slides, I thought people would be less likely to speak up because now they can respond anonymously. They don't have to ever open their mouth. But it turns out to be the other way around, actually, is they know everybody's answering the questions. Everyone's in the same boat. Then they're more likely to speak up and interact.
After class, McLennan opens up his laptop to see how each student voted on the questions. That way he can identify those who might need extra help. The industry calls the clickers student response systems, and one of the big makers of them is Turning Technologies, based in Youngstown, Ohio. Brad Gant runs their education division.
You know, really, students outside of the classroom, their lives are filled with technology. And a lot of times we ask them to power down when they come into the classroom and not use that technology. Well, this is a chance to use the technology to engage the students.
Some of the newer models even allow for open-ended responses beyond just multiple choice. And a few months ago, Turning came out with apps for iPhones and Blackberries. So someday soon, bringing a cell phone to class might be as essential as a pen. For NPR News, I'm Dan Bobkoff in Cleveland.
And we're joined now, as we are most Mondays, by Omar Gayaga, who covers technology culture for the Austin American Statesman. Omar, welcome back.
Hi, Melissa. Good to talk to you.
And, you know, I've seen these clickers in action. I can think of a lot of pitfalls. What would you say the main challenges are for teachers with technology like this?
Well, in the case of clickers, students may give the impression that they're following along and that they're understanding what's being put in front of them, but that's no indication of whether they're going to retain that knowledge. It's a tool like any other, and it's certainly no substitute for good teaching and not something to become overly reliant on. With other technologies in the classroom, from social networking to putting materials online for students to access, it's not enough to just do it. You really have to do it well.
Yeah, and it's hard to see where anything like critical thinking would come into play if you're just punching a button for a multiple choice question.
Right. The open-ended ones are more interesting, and especially as things like iPhones and BlackBerries become more ubiquitous and become compatible with these things. But yeah, definitely the multiple choice, you're not really getting an indication of whether they're getting a deeper knowledge of the information.
Well, apart from clickers, Omar, what are some of the most effective ways that schools are putting students' knowledge of gadgetry and technology to good use?
Well, one long-time trend is students getting universities to issue them laptops as part of their tuition or at least offer them a discount. But in other ways, universities are also increasing the technology available to students. They're bolstering their Wi-Fi networks. They're making lectures and class materials available online, even as subscribable podcasts, if students want to subscribe to those. Many professors utilize technology that students are already using, everything from iPods to social networking sites like Facebook. It opens more channels of communication. Students, for instance, may want to chat with their professor over Facebook rather than just send an email. For the students, it's all about access. They need to have a range of options to get as much information as they can.
And you do see colleges bragging about being the best wired campus. There are magazines that rank schools based on all the bells and whistles that are available to the kids there. And I guess for parents, you want to know, you know, apart from the technology, is it really working? Is it helping them learn?
Right. There's a lot more to it than just the hardware or just the network. There was a list in October, the top 20 wired colleges that PC Magazine and the Princeton Review put together. And some of the determining factors for their top 20 were also things like tech-related coursework, not just web design classes. For instance, at the University of Pennsylvania, they have a high-tech intellectual property course.
As you look ahead, Omar, what would you say is next for universities using technology like this?
Well, what seems to be happening right now is that social network sites are being utilized more and more. They're free services like Facebook, and students are using them to create groups, to chat with professors, to create message boards. In the past, they might have had to set up their own web page or website to kind of coordinate with student groups or create, say, a student organization website, but now those tools are readily available and free. One company I spoke to a few months ago called Wigio is doing something similar for students who want to create groups online, but they're also adding voice and text messaging, shared calendars, conference calls, file sharing. They're really giving students the tools that, you know, a large corporation might have for their employees, but they're available free and they're ubiquitous. So it's like having an entire IT department for your student group.
Okay, thank you, Omar.
Thanks very much for having me.
Omar Gallaga covers technology culture for the Austin American-Statesman.